Now, 2 Samuel 21, verse 15 starts out, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel." Now, we're going to look at this as it should be looked at, which is as an allegory. If it's not an allegory, it just won't do us any good. If this is not an allegory of how God saves sinners in Christ, then all we have here is a history of David and his servants fighting a bunch of giants. What good's that do you? What good's that going to do you where you're sitting right here today? The word is spirit. It's to be looked at in spirit and in truth. The believer can enter into that, and the Philistine won't. But we're going to look at this as an allegory of the believer's warfare and how we're triumphant by Christ. Now, the Philistines represent the believer's enemy, and Israel represents God's people, the believer, our brethren. God put a difference between the nations. Before God drew a line between the nations and gave them different languages, there was no such thing as a Philistine or Israel. We were all just sons of Adam, born, conceived in sin, come forth speaking lies, and that's what we still are. But God providentially worked these things and these shows us these histories of fighting to show us a foreshadowing of what Christ would do when he came and the warfare spiritually that the believer endures as we walk through this life. Just like the Lord created a difference between the nations, the Lord creates a difference in his people when he gives us a heart to believe on him. He makes the difference. He creates the difference by giving us a heart to know that he's loved us and chose us and put us in Christ and where he is. And when he teaches us that, he teaches us in the heart, our warfare is accomplished by what Christ has done. It's accomplished. I showed you Hebrews 9:26 this morning. By the sacrifice of himself, he put away sin. Hebrews 10:10 says, by his will, coming to do God's will, by the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. We're not made holy by our will, we're made holy by his will. We're not separated by our will, we're separated by God's will. And we're made so in that one offering he did by himself. He was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Those who are born of him, called of him, who were in him when he died, there is no sin. He's washed us from our sins in his own blood. Our warfare is accomplished. But now, as long as we're in this body of death and walking through this world, we're in a constant warfare. The believer is in a continual warfare between the spirit and the flesh, between that which is spiritual and that which is fleshly. Look here in 2 Samuel 21, verse 15. "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel." Look at verse 18. "And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob." Look at verse 19. "And there was again a battle with Gob," with the Philistines. Look at verse 20. "And there was yet a battle in Gath." The Philistines just kept coming. They just kept coming back up. Every believer is enlisted as a soldier serving under Christ Jesus the Lord. We've entered into a warfare. Our banner, our flag is Christ Jesus, under whom we rally. The captain of our warfare, under whose direction and leadership we march through this world, is Christ Jesus, the captain of our warfare. But there's no furlough in this war. You don't get to go home or go to a sunny beach somewhere in this warfare. This continual warfare is constant from the time we're called by God till we leave this life. There's a constant battle between flesh and spirit. Our enemies are mighty, and they're well armed. Look at verse 16. Ashbenanob was one of the sons of the giant. There's one giant, Satan. He's the one who is our chief enemy. But he's got a lot of sons. He's got some sons, and they're well armed. Sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new. He's always girded with something new. our enemies always have something new, and that appeals to our flesh, something new, and it's a war. They fight against us with that. Look at verse 20. It speaks of a man of great stature. He had on every hand 6 fingers, on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. He was also born to the giant. Who and what is the giant? What's this? It's the giant. The giant is Satan. The giant is the devil himself. And he has a lot of sons, a lot of that are well equipped and well armed. When sin entered the world, our sins became a giant. Our own sin, our sin, my sin and your sin is a giant that we can't overcome. This world, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so that everything in this world are the giants coming up against us with all their new armor and all their new weapons of war and all the new things that are carnal. That word Philistine means foreigner. It means immigrant. That's what Satan entered this world as, a foreigner. Into God's world, into the Garden of Eden, and when sin entered in, that's what sin is to us. It's a foreigner that entered in to this world and into our flesh. And this world, we're called, the believers called, we're dead to this world, and this world's dead to us. Paul said. And as we journey through this world, we're a foreigner in this world. This world's foreign to us, like we're in a strange land, a foreign country, and we're foreigners to this land and to this country. And look at 1 John. I want you to see this. We're going to try to have a message on this soon, but I want you to look at this. And let's just put some of these giants in perspective. 1 John 2, verse 15. This is what God says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, this is what God says the world is. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's us wanting to, we want the easiest thing for this flesh, the most comfortable thing for this flesh. And not only comfort for it, we want luxury for it. We want it to be in luxury. The lust of the eyes, asked to kids one day, what appeals to you more, to you ladies more, a 1/4-carat diamond engagement ring or a 2-carat diamond engagement ring? That's the lust of the eye is what that is. And the pride of life. We want honor from this world. We want this world's applause. We want to be known by everybody in this world. We want everybody to come to our funeral and everybody to be singing our praises. But all of that, he says, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's of the world. But these things pose as giants to us. Giants to us. Look at Mark 4:19. Mark 4, verse 19. We were watching a message on television yesterday on some videos I have, and from this passage, and this just stood out to me. This is what chokes the word. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says chokes the word away. Mark 4:19. The cares of this world. We all got to eat, don't we? We all got to live somewhere. We have cares of this world. The cares of this world will choke the word. And the deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So what's the believer's strength in this warfare? How are we going to enter into this warfare and overcome in these things? Are we going to use carnal weapons? That's what we see in this text in 2 Samuel, verse 16. He had a spear that weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He was girded with something new. Maybe it was a new sword. Maybe it was new armor. Whatever it was, he had all these great weapons, carnal weapons. Is that what we're going to fight with? Is that how we're going to wage war in this life? The scripture says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. They're mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, destroying our enemies before us. What is it described as? Listen, let me just give you what it's described as in Ephesians 6:13. Our weapons, our armor, it's called the armor of God. It's called having your loins girt about with truth. That means what's in you, working in you, protecting you, is truth, the truth of God. It's having on the breastplate of righteousness. Hear the description of armor here? The breastplate of Christ's righteousness, of being made righteous in Him, knowing that it covers our heart, our righteousness being of Him. Or having our feet covered with the preparation of the gospel. Our feet, instead of having on big armor boots and mighty boots to walk in, the believer has our feet walking by the truth of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. We have the shield of faith, believing God, trusting God, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, all of these giants that come in to battle us. We have the helmet of salvation. So we're covered from head to toe, which the helmet being called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And all of this armor that we're talking about, it's the Word. It's the Word. It's the gospel from head to foot. It's the good news of what Christ has done. This is our strength. This is our armor. This is what we do battle with, against the sin in our own flesh and against the enemies in this world, against the giants in this on this land called our body and in the giants in this land we live in this world. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Always praying for one another, always looking out for one another, bringing one another up to God, persevering in prayer to God for one another, for our own well-being. Now that doesn't sound like much armor and much of weapons compared to what these giants had, does it? These giants came up with some big giants. They were giants themselves. This one guy had 24 toes and 24 fingers. They were giants, and they were bigger than the ones they came up against. They had these giant swords. And here's David and his army. And they're a lot smaller than them. All right, let's try to see what we can learn from this. We're going to look at this probably first just looking at it literally of David and what his people were doing and how we walk through this world. But then I want you to see something here that has really got me excited. First of all, we see that the believer takes courage in this warfare. We have courage in this warfare. Look at verse 15. And David went down. David went down. Now this is probably sometime towards the end of David's life, or at least in David's life. But David was in this warfare still. He went down and went into this warfare. Now, we can't win this battle, the least of this battle, by our own strength. But this battle, as I said, it's going to go from the time we begin to the end. David started out, remember, when he was young, he just fought one giant, Goliath. Now here we have David old, and he's fighting four giants. And he went down. He went down. He went into this battle. He took no ease from the fight, and he wasn't given any ease from the fight. He fought for the good of his kingdom. He went down with his servants to fight. This is what he said in Psalm 71:18. He said, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Now here's what we're seeing. We're going to look here first at David and his servants, but what we're going to see here is God's power and God's strength. That's where the strength of our weapons come from. And then we see here, brethren need brethren in this fight. Look at verse 15. And David went down and his servants with him. Brethren, we're in this fight together. We're in this fight together. A man starts thinking he can stand on his own. That's pride. That's pride for a man to think he can stand on his own. David needed his brethren. His brethren needed David. Philippians 1:27. Paul said, "Let your conduct be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Together. And then we see that this fight of faith is a real fight. It's a real fight. Look at verse 15. They went down, David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. We're not complacent in this warfare. We're not, we fight in this warfare. The warfare against our sin and the cares of this world is one we must fight against with all our might. We have to fight against it with everything we have as we're strengthened by our Lord. But we do fight this. Paul told Timothy, war a good warfare. He's told him, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto you're called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight, endure, wage war. This is what, it's a real fight. He said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. We get discouraged, don't we? It's easy to get discouraged. Copper wrote, you fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head. Courage. We have to have courage in this battle. Now let's look secondly here and see what the strength for this battle is. Where is our strength for this battle? Look at verse 15. The Philistines yet war again with Israel. David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. He waxed faint. David's desire was to fight. His desire was to be strong, but his body couldn't keep up with what his desire was. Do you remember when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And the Lord said to his disciples, you watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he came back and they were sleeping. And he went again and he came back again, they were sleeping. And he said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's what we see with David. He waxed faint. So did the Lord say, then, so turn around and run. Turn around and run. No, the Lord said, watch and pray. That's what the Lord said. And David here waxed faint, but he held his ground. David waxed faint. He ran out of strength. He had no strength. But our weapons in Ephesians 6:18 is to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. I'll show you what David's heart was. Look at Psalm 73:26. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That was what was in his heart. God is my strength and my portion forever. David fainted, and we faint, but our God doesn't faint. Look at Isaiah 40. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, that's what it is to be faint, to have no might, he gives strength. Even the strongest shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, we do faint, and when we faint, the enemy seeks to take advantage of us, but no enemy's going to take advantage of God's people. Look at verse 16. This giant, I can't pronounce his name, he was of the sons of the giant. He had this big spear, and these weighed 300 shekels of brass. And well, he turned, and he thought he would slay David when David waxed faint. He was aware he had an advantage. He was strong and he was well armed. So he turned to slay David. But did he slay David? He didn't. The enemies of God's people, they appear to us very sure of success sometimes. All our enemies look like they're sure of success, look like they're against us, but nothing's going to separate God's people from our Savior. It's He that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. It's He that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. And this is the same promise to you and me, brethren. He says, no weapon that is formed against you shall hurt you. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. The heritage and the righteousness of the servants of the Lord is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Now this is what we see next here is he was strengthened. David was strengthened. Look at verse 17. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, comforted him. This one came to David while he fainted. And here's this giant pressing down upon David. He's turned and he's going to slay David. And here comes this young servant. And he runs and he starts helping David. He starts comforting him. Maybe he had some water. I don't know. Maybe he had some food or something. But he comes to David's aid and he gives David some comfort. And David was strengthened and he smote the Philistine. I know it's kind of complicated there in the reading. It says, but Abishai the son of Zeruiah comforted him and smote the Philistine and killed him. You know how I know that David is the one who killed him? You know how I know that when David was comforted, it's David who killed this giant? I know it because this is all my hope. I know it because this is where I get all my strength. I know it because this is how I'm comforted and how I'm strengthened. You see, just like David went down with his servants to fight this battle, Christ Jesus, who is the Ancient of Days, God the Son, came down to where we are. He came down to where we live. Made of a woman, made under the law, He came down to fight that giant and defeat him, to deliver them who, through fear of death, had all their lifetime been subject to bondage, to crush Satan's head, to deliver his people from him. And when he came down to fight this fight, do you recall how that when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, touched with all the feeling of our infirmities, facing going to that cross and bearing the sin of his people to defeat that giant that was our enemy. When he did that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was faint. He said, now is my soul exceedingly heavy. It's sorrowful even unto death. And do you remember an angel came to him? An angel came to him of God. He cried unto the Lord. Just like David, I just read that scripture, David crying unto the Lord saying, God, you are my strength. Hebrews said he cried unto him that was able to save him from death. He's God, and as God, he has all power, he has he's God Almighty, but in the form of a servant, serving for his people. As the king over Israel, like David, he's serving for his kingdom. He's serving for his servants, and he's faint, and he's weak, and he's pressed sore down by what he's about to enter into. And God, he cried out unto the Father. He looked to his children and said, pray with me. But we were willing, but the flesh was weak, and we couldn't. But God sent forth an angel to him and strengthened him. And the angel didn't get up and go to the cross and defeat the enemy. The angel strengthened him, and our David, Christ the Lord, got up and went and smote the enemy. That's how I know David got up and went and smote that enemy after Abishai comforted him. Don't you want to be like this Abishai? Here he is. He's just a servant. He's just like a believer here. And here's David. And he's faint and he can't move on. And there's this giant barreling down on him, and Abishai goes to him and he comforts him. He goes to him and he pours in wine and oil and he comforts him. He stood between David and this giant. He stood there in the gap between them and comforted him. It takes great courage to go to a believer, fellow believer, and stand with him in the face of these giants and stand with him in the face of our enemies. How do we do that? We do it because Christ knows what we are. Christ knows the feeling of our infirmities. Christ knows what it is to be faint. He knows what it is to be cast down because he's served for his people in the flesh. And he was comforted of God, and he's now given the reins. A man who is God, God who is man, is seated in the heavens, and he has to reign over this whole thing. And he knows when you're faint. He knows when one of his child is weary. And he comes and he's able to send forth the Spirit to comfort us. He's able to strengthen one brother like Abishai and send him forth to stand with you and to comfort you even when everybody else is against you and all the rest of the world has turned against you and got all their new weapons that they would try to strike you down with. And he knows how to comfort us. And so this is what we see then thirdly. Our assurance is a victory. It's certain. It's absolutely certain. Look at verse 17. And let me remind you this. When you look at a type in Scripture, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be chronological. It doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to fall right into the order that pictures Christ and all of that. But it all together ties in and shows you something about Christ. Look at this next verse, verse 17. Here's our assurance that this is so. Here's our assurance for the believer that God's going to do, that Christ is going to do this. Verse 17. Then the men of David swear unto him, after they did this, and David went and smote this enemy. They said unto him, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Now you can understand that. Here's David, he's the king. Here's David, he's the leader. Here's David, he's the one who leads them into victory. And they don't want him going out there and getting killed. They won't have a leader anymore. They won't have anybody to direct them and show them where to go and lead them into battle and make the big decisions that need to be made and all that. They won't have that. We can understand that. But do you remember whenever the Lord was going to the cross and he told Peter and the rest of his apostles what he was about to do and what he was about to bear? He's the light. Christ is the light. And they said to him, Lord, it can't be so. You can't go to the cross and we won't have light. We won't have the light anymore. You can't go into this battle like that. Peter, even after the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter drew the sword and he cut off that soldier's ear. Peter was determined, my Lord's not going into this battle. I'm going to protect him. And the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. If I don't go into this battle, if Christ don't go to the cross, if he doesn't go and bear the sin of his people, if he doesn't go and bear all the hell that the serpent can throw at him and all the giants of and our enemies are throwing at him, if he doesn't bear it and put it away, we have no captain. We have no light. We have not one who is the victor over all our enemies that will assure us that we have the victory in him. And so the Lord, we want as believers, we want Christ the light. That's what we want. We can understand what they wanted here. They wanted the light. They didn't want the light of God to be gone from them. But that was a necessity, brethren, that Christ go to the cross and bear the sin of his people so that he remains the light. He remains the light. We can fight the good fight so long as we have the light. We can fight this warfare so long as we have the strength for the battle. We can fight this warfare so long as we know our enemies are already conquered. Our enemies are already conquered before we ever enter into the battle. But without that light, without Christ, that light, we can't do anything. And that's the feeling they had here concerning David. You can't go into this battle or we won't have the light. But notice where it was this battle took place. Christ went in. He didn't listen to Peter and he didn't listen to those others. He said, I've got to go in and fight this battle. I'm the king. I've got to go in. I'm the light. I've got to go in and do it. And that's what he did. Look at where this battle took place. Verse 18, it says, it came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. You know what that means? It means pit. Pit or cistern. It means pit. That's where this city was. Verse 20 says, and there was a battle at Gath. You know what Gath means? It means wine press. Wine press. We were in Gob. We were in the pit. We were spiritually dead in sin. We were drinking of the broken cisterns of our own will and our own works. We were on our way to the everlasting pit of corruption. But God in eternity past found a ransom for our souls and our surety, Christ Jesus. And he said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. But in order to defeat the giants, in order for our sin to be conquered, and Satan to be conquered, and all our sin to be put away at Gob, Christ had to pay the ransom price by going to Gath, the wine press. He had to go to Gath. He had to go and endure the giant called the Holy Law and the giant called the wrath of God. He had to endure that giant in place of his people because God says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And he went forth into that battle. He went to the cross and like wine is pressed out of a crushed grape, like the juice is just crushed out of a grape, he was crushed before God's fury. Revelation 19:15 says, he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. But by paying that ransom that we owe, sin's put away. Justice is satisfied. We're righteous in Christ. All the giants have been conquered. They're all conquered. He comes to each of his children in the season of his love through the Holy Spirit, like Abishai came there and comforted him that was faint, that he comes like that in the Spirit. This is what he teaches us. I just looked this up. Made us. I looked up this word. Made us. And look at this. Galatians 5:1. This is what he did. By going into this battle. Our David going into this battle. Look at. This is what he comes and he teaches us in the beginning, and this is what he continually comes and how he refreshes us and comforts our fainting souls when we're facing this warfare in our flesh. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He's made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Look at Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Look at chapter 2 and verse 6. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look at Revelations 1, verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, we've been made the righteousness of God in him. Christ is our victory. Christ is our strength so that we can sing, O Lord, thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. And so when Christ comes in and he pours in this all of his Spirit and his blessing of his Spirit and reveals to us again what he's done in the midst of this battle, in the midst of all these giants, Look back at 2 Samuel 21. In the midst of all this warfare that we're engaged in, when he tells us all this again in our hearts and makes us to realize that he's made us complete in Christ, he's made us victors in him, that he's accomplished this warfare for us, this is what he makes us to do. This is our strength. This is what he makes us to do. Look at verse 18. And it came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob, and then one of these children of Israel, he slew a giant, which was the sons of Giant. He went in there and slew him, defeated him. And verse 19, and there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elaenan, the son of Jehoiakim, a Bethlehemite, he slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. Strengthened with his strength, Christ our strength, we can conquer these giants. Look at verse 20. There was yet another battle in Gath. There was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. He also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. You see all these servants of David? They're all strengthened now. They're all strengthened. David probably didn't go back into battle anymore with them because he was an old man and he couldn't do it anymore. But Christ went into the battle, and he's the light that comes and pours in the oil so that you and I can wage this warfare and fight this battle because he's conquered the giants for us. Look at verse 22. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. You know, our enemies all fell by the hand of Christ our King. And because we were in Christ, his hand is our hand. And when our enemies fell by the hand of Christ, it's the same as them falling by our hand. All these giants were felled by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. By Christ doing it on our behalf, all these giants fell. God is... And these enemies then, when he sent them forth then, these servants. Now look at it like this too. When these servants actually went in and they had to wage this warfare. You and I are in a real warfare. And it's a real fight. And it's a real waging war against our enemy. Within and without. But all of these men who went in and fought against these enemies, they are weaker than those giants. The giants are described in this magnificence and this stature and with these giant weapons and all of this. And yet these men conquered those giants. Just like David did, they conquered them. God's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He said, my strength is made known through weakness. Those that are completely weak to conquer the giant. That's where I'm going to show you, God said, that I'm the one that's conquering the giant. For you that don't have strength to do it. Are you faint? Do you get weary trying to fight sin and trying to fight in this world and at our jobs and everything else that we do? I feel lonesome sometimes. I feel like my sin is just so, it's a giant. It's a giant. I just can't defeat it. And the mortification of the flesh comes whenever I see Christ, when I see that he has conquered my sin, that he has put away my sin. That's when, for a little while, I can walk. For a little while, I can, as it were, overcome the giant for a little while. Live upon the fullness of Christ. Live upon his promises. They're all yea and amen in him. Depend upon Christ in every word that he's promised. He'll fulfill it. He'll fulfill it. Look over at Romans 8:37. Here's some of these giants we face. Romans 8:38. Death, that's a giant. Life, that's a giant. principalities and powers. Those are giants. Things present, things to come. Giants. There's heights and there's depths. There's creatures that we can't see and know. Are any of those going to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Look back at Romans 8:37. I'm sorry. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, what about, I thought he had conquered Satan already, bruised his head. Look at Romans 16. He has. But he's left us in this world for a little while. You know why he's left us here? You know why he left us in this body of death with these enemies? And why he left us here in this world like this? Man, it takes the Spirit of God to teach us this. He left us here in this body and in this world to teach us we have absolutely zero strength to save ourselves. None. Our strength is Christ. And he's teaching us this. He tells us to fight. When I tell you to fight, you know what I'm telling you to do? Fight the temptation not to pick up this book and read it. Fight it. Pick the book up and read it. Fight the temptation not to sit down and look at his word and ask God to praying with all supplication before him and for all the saints. Fight the temptation not to do that. Fight the temptation to take matters into our own hands and think, well, I thought the word was going to be enough. I guess it's not. I'm going to have to do this or that. Fight it. That won't do anything but mess things up worse. Fight it. Fight the temptation to do anything other than lay down at Christ's feet and trust that he's the victor and he's won the victory. Fight every temptation to do otherwise. See, the Satan wants us to fight him. He wants us to come out with a carnal weapon. Our weapons aren't carnal. They aren't carnal. But this is what he promises us, Romans 16:20. It's what Paul said. Let's read verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all, and I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Just when it comes to evil, be a child dependent on Christ completely. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.